So, good morning, everyone. We're in book one, book two, canto four, and we stopped on page 130 at line 200. And that line 200 reads, "Nothing seemed worth the labor to come." Sri Aurobindo is describing the very first awakening of life in matter, in simple material forms. And if there'd been some visitor from worlds who came and observed those early beginnings of life in the form of slime and molds and viruses and bacteria, they would have thought, what is the use of all this? But judge not so, his spirit's wakened eye. King Aswapati doesn't see things like that. The eye of his spirit is awakened, and he can see that these primitive, apparently worthless, simple, primal life forms have a much greater significance. So we can read on from there. Have we read the next section to page? Usually Prasad keeps track of how far ahead we have read.
We had read until I have gone 3-7 down, exactly to this part.
Okay, so then from here we can go ahead and read. We will read the rest of canto, or at least the next two. We'll read to page 146. Will you start, Bon?
In the drift and clinging of a mindless mind, a single thinker in an endless world, awaking from an endless song of God, show the purpose in the works of time. Even in death, endlessness of all my time.
Oh, sorry. No, I'm so sorry. Yes, please read the last line. Thank you. Yes, sometimes these full stops are very small. Fanny, would you read on, please?
A heavenly process done this great disguise, a foreign ignorance in its covert mind, labored to achieve its dumb, unseemly work, a camouflage of the conscience need to release the glory of God in nature's mud. His sight spiritual in a body's force, who pierce through the gray phosphorescent haze and scan the secrets of the shifting flux that animates these mute and solid cells and leads the thought and longing of the flesh and the keen lust and hunger of its will. This too he tracked along his hidden stream and traced its acts to a miraculous fount. a mystic presence beyond control, no rules, created this game of rain and shade. In this sweet and bitter paradox, asked from the body the soul's intimacies, and by the swift vibration of a nerve, links its mechanic throbs to light and love. It summons the spirit's sleeping memories up from subconscious depths beneath time's foam, obvious, oblivious of their flame of happy truths, arriving with heavy eyes to harness sea. They come disguised as feeling and desires, like weeds upon the surface flowing the wine, and rise and sink on as some memories try time.
Thank you. Marion.
If you were degraded, Lord, which always in heaven truth moves in night deeps, in her obscurest members burns that fire, the touch of God so raptured in lost remembrance of felicity, lurks still in the dawn roots of their emperor. The world's senseless beauty newer God's delight. That rapturous mind is secret everywhere. It flows in the wind's breath and the tree's sap. It's yield magnificent bloom in the leaves and flowers. When life walks through its half brows in the ramp that fills and circles the camel moon of fire. In peace and in wind, and in winged birds and thinking man, it made of the heart's rhythm its music the beat. It falls to the unconscious tissues to awake and ask for happiness and earn the fun and thrill to pleasure and laughter or grief delight and quiver to pain crave for ecstasy. Imperative voices, ill understood, too far from life, too close to being's call, bones strangely in time from the eternal breeze, impressive on heart's core and vibrant nerve, sharp, self-seeking tears, our tears tear our consciousness. Our pain and pleasure have that sting for pearls. Instead, we feel the blind to its true joy, the soul's desire leaps out towards passing things.
Thank you.
All nature's longing drive none can resist, comes surging through the blood and quickened sense. An ecstasy of the infinite is her call. It turns in us to finite. The will to conquer and have seems it deep, to enlarge life's room and scope and present reign, to battle and make one's own the hope, to mix one's joy with others' joy, a yearning to possess and be possessed, to enjoy and be enjoyed, to feel, to live. Here was its early brief attempt to be, its rapid end of the momentary delight and stamp of failure, haunts all ignorant life, inflicting still its habit on the cells, the phantom of a dark and evil start, ghost-like pursues all that we dream and do. Although on earth our firm established lives, a working of habit or a sense of law, a steady repetition in the flux, yet are fruits of will over the same. These passions are the stuff of which we are made. This was the first cry of the awakening world. It clings around the still and clasps the God.
Thank you.
Even when reason is born and soul takes form, in wish and reptile and in thinking man, in love and is the bond of all the life, these two was needed that breath and living might be, the spirit in a fire. Then slowly it gathers mass, looks up at her light. These natural leaves tied to her condition. A clutch of nature holds in on her out of unconsciousness, that's her instincts yet. A neighbor is her life, the insentient knowledge. Under this low and ignorant world was made.
Thank you.
In the enigma of the darkened vasts, in the passion and self-loss of the infinite, when all was plunged in the negating void, non-being's night could never have been saved. If being had not plunged into the dark, carrying with it its triple mystic course, invoking in one time the timeless truth, bliss changed to sorrow, knowledge made ignorant, God's first force turned into a child's helplessness can bring down heaven by their sacrifice. Contradiction forms the base of life, the eternal, the divine reality, has faced itself with its own contraries. Being became the void and conscious force, nescence and walk of a blind energy, and ecstasy took the figure of a world pain. In mysterious dispensation's law, the wisdom that prepares its far-off ends, plan so to start her slow, yonic game.
Thank you. Thanks.
A blindfold search and vestal and fumbling clasp of a half-seen nature and hidden soul, a game of hide and seek in twilight rooms, a play of love and hate, fear and hope continues in the nursery of mind, its hard and heavy home of self-formed twins. At last the struggling energy can emerge and meet the voiceless being in wider fields. Then can they see and speak and breast to breast in a larger consciousness, a clearer light, the two embrace and strive, and each know each, regarding closer now the playmate's face. Even in these formless coilings, he could feel matter's response to the infant's stir of soul. In nature he saw the mighty spirit concealed, watched the brief burst of a tremendous force, pursued the rhythm of Godhead's tentative pace, heard the faint rhythm of a great unborn moon.
Yes, so this is where the summary about the most material level of life comes to an end. And in the next section, he will speak about a fierier breath of waking life, something that is more recognizable to us. Will you read?
The game of murder
fierier
breath of waking life, and there arose from the dim dark of things a strange creation of a human sense, existences half real and half dream, a life was there that hoped not to survive, beings were born without trace, events that were of formless drama's lens, and actions driven by a blind creature will. A seeking power found out its role to form. Patterns were built of love and joy and pain, and symbols figures for the moods of life. An insect hedonism fluttered and crawled, and basked in a sunlit nature's surface thrills, in dragon raptures, python agonies, crawled in the marsh and mire and licked the sun. Mute armored strengths shook a frail waking ground, great human creatures with a dwarfish brain, and tiny tribes imposed a small life drift.
Thank you. Jean-Yves.
In the dwarf model of humanity, nature now launched the extreme experience and master point of her design's luminous result of the half conscious plan, on worms twigs, her sublimities and vortices, to massive from infinitesimal shapes, the circular balancing of body and soul, to an order of intelligence litterness, around him, in a moment beats of time, the kingdom of the animal self rules, where deed is all and mind is deed half born, and the heart obeys a dumb and seen control. The force that works by the light of ignorance, that animal experiment begun, crowding with conscious creatures by world's key, but to the outward only where they align. Only they reply to touches and surfaces, and to the prick of me that drove their life. A body that knew not its own soul within, there lived and longed, had loss and joy and grief. The mind was that met the objective world, as if a stranger or enemy at its door. His thoughts were needed by the shocks of sense. It captured not the spirit of the form, it entered not the heart of what it sought. It looked not for the power behind the act. It studied not the hidden motive in things. Now strove to find the meaning of it all.
Thank you. Mihong?
Beings were there who wore a human form, observed daily in the passion of the scene, but knew not who they were or why they lived. Content to breathe, to feel, to sense, to act. Life had for them no aim save nature's joy, and the stimulus and delight of outer things identified with the spirit's outward shape. They worked for the body's worth. They craved no more. The veiled spectator watching from their depths fixed not his inward eye upon himself, not turned to find the author of the plot. He saw the drama only and the stage. There was no brooding stress of deeper sense. The burden of reflection was not borne. Mind looked on nature with the unknowing eyes, adored her boons, and feared her monstrous strokes. It pondered not on the magic of her love. It thirsted not for the secret wedge of truth, but made a register of crowding facts and strong sensations on a vivid thread. It hunted and it played and sniffed the winds all slowly inert in sunshine and soft air. It sought the engrossing context of the world, but only to feed the surface sense with the bliss.
Thank you. Will you read?
These felt lives quivered in the outward touch. They could not feel behind the touch the soul. To guard their form of self from nature's harm, to enjoy and to survive was all their care. The narrow horizon of their days was filled with things and creatures that could help and hurt. The world's value hung upon their title, their little self, isolated, cramped in the vast unknown. To save their small lives from surrounding death, they made a tiny circle of defense against the seas of the huge universe. They preyed upon the world and were its prey, but never dreamed to conquer and to be free. obeying the world's power, hymns and form taboos. A scanty part they drew from her rich store. There was no conscious code and no life plan. The patterns of thinking of a little group fixed a traditional behavior slot. Ignorant of soul save as a breath within, tied to a mechanism of unchanging life and to a dull usual sense and feeling speed. They turned its grooves of animal desire.
Thank you. Margaret?
In walls of stone, fenced round, they worked and warred. Did by invented selfishness a small good, or wrought a dreadful wrong and cruel pain on sentient lives, and thought they did no ill. Ardent from the sack of happy, peaceful bones, and gorged with slaughter, plunder, rape, and fire, they made of human selves their helpless prey, a drove of captives led to lifelong woe, or tortured, a spectacle made and holiday, mocking or thrilled by their torn victims' pangs, admiring themselves as titans and as a gods. Proudly they sang their high and glorious deeds, and praised their victory and their splendid force. An animal in the instinctive herd, pushed by life impulses, forced by common needs, each in his own kind, saw his ego's glass, all served the aim and action of the pack.
Thank you. Those like himself, by blood or custom kin, to him were parts of his life, his adjunct selves, his personal nebulas, constituent stars, satellite companions of his solar eye, a master of his life's environment, a leader of a huddled human mass, herding for safety on a dangerous earth, he gathered them round him as if minor powers to make a common front against the world, all weak and sore on an indifferent earth, as a fortress for his undefended heart, or else to heal his body's loneliness. In others than his kind, he sensed a foe, an alien, unlike force to shun and fear, a stranger and adversary to hate and slay. Or he lived as lives the solitary brute, at war with all, he bore his single fate. Justin? Thank you. Manohar.
I mean, it's creatures with light and hope that have awakened in a sense struggle with them, to know by sight and touch the outside of things. Instinctuous form, in memory's crowded sleep, the past sleep tone as if as in a bottomless sea. Melting into half thirst, the thickened sands she felt around for truth with trembling hands. Clutched to where the little she could reach and seize, and put aside in her subconscious care. So must the dim being go in light and force, and rise from his higher destiny at last. Look up to God and round at the universe, and learn by failure and progress by fall, and battle with environment and wound. By suffering, discover his deep soul, and by possession, grow in his own vastness.
Mm. Rima.
Happily, she stopped and found to ask no more. Still nothing was achieved, but to begin. Yet finished, seeing the circle of her force. Only she had beaten all sparks of ignorance. Only the life could feel, and not the mind. Only the sense could feel, and not the soul. Only was it some heat for the pain of life. Some joy to be, some rapturous leaps of sense. All was an impetus of half-conscious force, a spirit swirling, drowned in dense life form, a vague self-grasping at the shape of him. Behind all mort, seeking for vessel to home, the first raw vintage of daily rough rays of God. A first man is free, still, for the supreme grief. Intoxicating this, stupefied soul and mind, a heady one of rapture, dark and crude, dim, uncast yet into spiritual form, obscure and penitent of the world's blind horn and unborn Godhead's will and huge desire.
Hmm. Well, that is the animal creation. And now we can go on and read about a third creation. We can read to the end of the canto. Lorraine.
A third creation now revealed its face. A mold of body's early mind was made. A glint of light kindled the obscure world force. A driven world with the seeing idea. An arm to act with thought's dynamic point. A small thinking being watched the works of time. A difficult evolution from below, called a mass in intervention from above. Else this great, blind, and conscient universe could never have disclosed its hidden mind, or even in blinkers worked in peace and man. The intelligence that devised the cosmic scheme. At first he saw a dim, obscure, mind power, moving concealed by matter and dumb mind, a current thin, its stream in life's vast flow, tossing and drifting under a drifting sky. Amid surge and glimmering and bright, glimmering, tremulous wash, released in splash of sense and feelings waves in the deep midst of an insentient world. It hugs waves and foam of consciousness ran, pressing and eddying through a narrow strait, carrying experience in its crowded pace. It flowed, emerging into an upper light from the deep pool of its subliminal birth. To reach some high existence still unknown.
Mm, thank you. So Danya.
There was no thinking self. In there was none. All was unorganized space and sitting there. Only in the unstable surface roads, sensations, strength and ease of engineering, and passion's lips and weak emotion's eyes, a casual quality of ancient fruit flesh, a murmur of heart in launching swallow's heart, remaining of noise with no shape of thought, and jets of subconscious need for hunger's foods. All was being spotted on a cold block, a world around a drifting shadow sun, or an inconscient pair of force in ground.
Thank you. Om.
Then came the threshold rushing power that grew whole into a dancing turbulence, circling around a single luminous point, center of reference in a conscious field, figure of a unitary right within. It beats the impulse of the sharp, sentient blood. Even illusion is a pixel, as if a seed could serve as a firm soil. That strange observing power imposed its size. It was one looks or dream and a shade. It gave its stream a lower narrow bank. Blue rhymes to smell the skin's bonusness. It fashioned the right mind of earth and beast. The answer of the reptile and the fish. The primitive pattern of the thought of a man, the finite movement of the infinite, came winging its way through a wide air of time. A march of knowledge moved in essence and guided him in the form of a separate soul. Its right to be immortal is deserved, but built a wall against the city of death and drew a hook to clutch eternity. A thinking eternity appeared in space.
A thinking entity, a thinking being appeared in space. Evelyn.
A little older word broke into view. Where we have prison room or act inside, a floor to walk, a clear but scanty range. An instrument personality was born, and a restricted cloud intelligence consented to confine in neural bounds. It's seeking. It tied the thought to visual things, prohibiting the adventure of the unseen and the soul's trap through unknown infinities. A reflex rhythm, nature had its glass, illumining light to know and fix its field. Accept a dangerous ignorant gravity and the inconclusive purpose of its work, and profit by the hour's precarious chance in the limited boundaries of its age. A little joy and knowledge satisfied, this little being turned into a knot and hung on the verge of its environment. A little curve cut off in measureless space, a little span of life in all that time.
Thank you. I'm sorry.
A poet was there that climbed, a wheel that strove, but for small gains within a narrow scope, wasting unmeasured toil, on transient thing. It knew itself a creature of the mind. It asked no loftier aim. It had no inward roots, no outward gaze. A backward scholar on logic's rickety bench, indoctrinated by the erring sense, it took appearance of the face of God. It took appearance for the face of God, for casual light, the marching of the sun, for heaven a stale streak of doubtful blue, aspects of being faint to be the whole.
Thank you.
There was a voice of busy interchange, a marketplace of trivial thoughts and acts, a life soon spent, a mind the body's slave. He has seen the brilliant crown of nature's world, and tiny egos took the world as means to sate a while dwarf lust and brief desires. In a dust closed passage saw life's start and end, as though a blind alley were creation's sign. As if for this the soul had coveted birth in the world, in the wonderland of a self-creating world and the opportunities of cosmic space. This creature, passionate only to survive, fettered to puny thoughts with no wide range, and to the body's needs and plans and joys. This fire growing by its fuel's death, increased by what it seized and made its own, it gathered and grew and gave itself to none. Only it hoped for greatness in its den, and pleasure and victory in small fields of power and conquest of life room for self and king. An animal limited by its feeding space. It knew not the mortal in its house. It had no greater, deeper cause to live.
Thank you.
In limits only it was powerful, acute to capture truth from outward use. Its knowledge was the body's instrument, absorbed in the little works of its prison house, it turned around the same unchanging points, in the same circle of interest and desire. The thought itself, the master of its chamber, although for action, not for wisdom's mate, thought was its apex, carpet's gutter's rim. It saw an image of the external world and saw its surface self, but knew no more. Out of a slow, confused, and broad self-search, mind grew to a clarity cut out, precise, a gleam enclosed in the stone ignorance.
Thank you, Betty.
In this bound thinking's narrow leadership, tied to the soil, inspired by common things, attached to a confined, familiar world, amid the multitude of her motive plots, her changing actors and her million masks. Life was a play, monotonously the same. There were no vast perspectives of the spirit, no swift invasions of unknown delight, no golden distances of wide release. This petty state resembled our human days, but fixed to eternity of changeless type, a movement doomed to last through time. Existence, bridge-like, spanned the inconscient gulfs, a half-illumined building in a mist, which from a void of form arose to sight and jutted out into a void of soul. A little light in a great darkness born. Life knew not where it went, nor whence it came. All around, around all, floated still the nescient pain.
So we can go back to page 141.
137.
No? It's further. 137. So, Asvapati sees that things are not so worthless as they might seem, this first awakening of life. Turiya, no? Ganga Lakshmi.
But judge not so, his spirit's reckoned eyes, as shining a solitary witness star, that burns apart light, lonely sentiment, in a drift and
teeming,
mindless mind, a single sinker in an endless world, awaiting some tremendous dark goal. His soul, the purpose in his works of time. Even in that endlessness, the Lord was done, pregnant with magic will and change divine.
Thank you. So this is a beautiful description of King Asvapati. Mm-hmm. He shines like a solitary witness star, watching. It's apart from all the rest of the universe. A lonely sentinel. A sentinel is one who is on watch, all alone in this drift and teeming of a mindless night. Drift suggests there's some movement. Teeming suggests many, many small entities in this night of consciousness, mindless night. He is there as a single thinker in that aimless world, the first emerging forms of life. And as that single thinker in an aimless world, he is consciously waiting for that mindless night to give birth to some tremendous dawn of God. He is able to see the purpose in the works of time. He is able to see that even in that worthless aimlessness, a work is being done, a work that's pregnant. It's going to give birth to magic will and change divine. There's a conception there which will bring about a great new development. Andres.
The first fragments of the cosmic circle force uncoiled from the mystic ring of matter's trance. It raised its head in the warm air of life. It could not cast off yet night's stiffening sleep, or wear as yet mind's wonder flecks and streaks. Put on its dual hood, the crown of soul, or stand erect in the blaze of the spirit. As yet were only seen fullness and force, the secret call of consciousness to light, through a fertile line of lust and battling sense. Being the body's crust of thickened self, a tardy, fervent working in the dark, the turbid ease of nature's passionate change, fervent of the soul's creation out of matter.
Mm. Anybody would like to ask anything?
Is the body is made up of?
Sorry?
Is our body is made up of this darkness too?
Yes. Yes, here he's speaking about the emergence of the life force. And so what Asvapati is seeing is that these very primitive movements of primitive small beings, this is like a snake, the great cosmic force of evolution. It is just beginning to wake up. It's been asleep in matter, in the trance of matter. All that potentiality for life was there, but it was coiled up. You know? And now Asvapati sees it starting to move with these first life forms. You know? These are writhings. You know, when a snake has been asleep, hibernating, begins to feel the warmth, begins to move. And this snake is the representation of the cosmic force, the force of evolution. So it unwinds itself from this mystic ring of matter's trance. It's been sleeping, coiled up like that. And now it begins to be able to raise its head in this warm air, this atmosphere of life. But it's not yet able to move freely. It's still got this stiffening sleep of unconsciousness. It will be able to wake up more. It will one day be able to wear the wonderful colors of mind, all the wonder flecks and streaks when it really wakes up and stands erect, and it will spread out its hood, its great jeweled hood, and wear on its hood the crown of soul. These are the steps that it has to pass through. Now, first the stiffening sleep of matter, then waking up in the warm air of life. It will awaken more and more, wake up to mind and to soul, and it will be able finally to stand erect in the blaze of spirit's sun. This is not something individualized and personal. This is the cosmos waking up, consciousness waking up in the universe. But as yet, all that can be seen is what was described in the previous section, this foulness. It really looks disgusting, these earliest slimes and molds and yeasts and viruses and bacteria. These represent foulness and force. There's energy there. What they represent is a secret crawl of consciousness in the darkness, no? Towards light. It has to secretly crawl, creep through this fertile slime of lust, of craving and desire, and battening sense. Battening means eating greedily. So the senses are eating up every possible sensation. Beneath the body's crust of thickened self, this most material outer level, there's something going on, a tardy, fervent working in the dark. It's like yeast. If you've ever made bread or cake with dried yeast, you add a little warm milk to it and you see it beginning to bubble and become alive. It's like that. The turbid yeast of nature's passionate chain. This is the first stage, this fermentation. Is the first stage of the soul, the creation of a soul out of the mud and slime of matter. Absolutely wonderful imagery. Yes, Ganga Lakshmi.
I have one question about the first reading of the cosmic circle.
writhings. Yes, if you dig in your garden and you come across a worm, it will writhe, it will move energetically. Yeah, writhings. So
I want to tell you, there is a correlation with the Christian religion in the first time, the serpent.
Well, when he speaks about the cosmic serpent force, yes, then we can think that it is somehow, it's the same imagery, no? Yeah, that Mother says the true significance of that serpent in paradise.
Yeah.
It's not a force of evil, it's a force of energy, which is driving evolution, Earth development further. So this is the same thing. Out of matter, that energy has to wake up, and this is the life energy. Cosmic serpent. Yes, Naren.
Line 215. Yes. What does he mean by last? Jewel food, the crown of the soul. It's ultimate.
You know, we have in traditional stories this images of beautiful cobras. No, I think when Buddha is meditating under the tree, there's this cobra protecting him with its hood spread, and some of those nagas, they have wonderfully jeweled headdresses and their colors are magnificent. It's a reference to that. So he says these are the colors, the jewels that begin to come as mind develops. Now we are seeing just the very first beginnings of life, but later on these glories of mind will be revealed. And beyond that, even the jeweled crown of soul.
The jeweled crown of soul means the mind or something else?
What?
The jeweled crown of soul.
It's the next step beyond mind. There's matter, life, mind. Only then the soul can reveal itself when those other three are fully developed. Is that okay? You wanted to
No, I didn't. I thought it was a Vishnu.
Well, yes, all these gods, they, because what the serpent represents is a force, an energy, a power. So the first movements which he's seeing, which look just like foulness and force, that's the beginning of this creation of the possibility of the revelation of soul in the material world.
Mm-hmm. What is battening sense?
Battening, when, you know, there are awful things at the bottom of the sea. I think they're called hagfish. They look like eels, and they have a mouth opening, no proper teeth, but they just gnaw away at anything they find on the bottom of the sea. I mean, it looks really disgusting. And this idea of battening, it's feeding greedily and in a very ugly way. So the senses in their early stages, they do that. They don't seek out refined and beautiful food. They just tear away at any kind of sensation, feed themselves on that, nourish them on that. Who's next? Naren, yes.
A heavenly process, down this great disguise, a fallen ignorance in its forward mind, labored to achieve its dumb and unseemly work, a camouflage of inconscience need, to release the glory of all nature's mind. His sight, spiritual in embodying orbs, could pierce through the grey phosphorescent haze and scan the secrets of the shifting pulse that animates these mute and solid cells and leaves the thought and the longing of the flesh in the mirror of its will.
Thank you. So this foulness and force, this turbid working of yeasts and slimes, he says, Asvapati could see that this is a grey disguise which has been put on a heavenly process. there's a state of fallen ignorance lying or at work there in the night of unconsciousness. It's working hard, and the work that it has to do is dumb. It can't express itself or tell what it's doing, and it is unseemly. It looks disgusting. It is disgusting, this kind of cells feeding on cells and consuming each other. It's an unseemly work, but it's a camouflage of a need, the need of the inconscient to release the glory of God, all the divine glory in nature's mud, in this state of matter beginning to give birth to light. I read a book by a biologist once who was suggesting that this development of living bodies in matter, it must have started in slimy mud, in clays. He said they shouldn't be too sticky and cohesive. They should be slimy and runny, and somehow allow this miraculous transformation, actually, from inorganic to organic matter to happen.
It isn't so disgusting.
Hmm?
It isn't so disgusting. If we didn't have cells that ate other cells,
yeah,
we would not live. We could not
We
live
couldn't live. It feeds on itself.
Hmm? Yeah, yes. I mean, it exists to this day.
Yes, of course,
this
it's going on.
Is going on continuously.
But there are certain processes of our human anatomy which we consider unseemly, rather undignified. he even calls it the indignity of the mortal state. And then, of course, when the machine runs down, then it all decomposes. It's really unseemly. It's not worthy of the soul which is inhabiting this form.
From my point of view, it's really life. It's survival.
It's life.
If we do not have this, we do not survive.
Exactly.
If our white blood cells don't function to eliminate bacteria that are invading our body or viruses,
right,
we would die.
Yeah.
If we didn't have T cells that promoted our whole immune system, we wouldn't be able to exist in this world the way it is right now.
Right.
So, yes, disgusting.
It's a bit unseemly, but absolutely necessary.
Yes,
yeah. Absolutely necessary. And that's what Aswapati is seeing. He's saying that really this is a divine work that's going on, yeah? However unseemly it may appear to us. The purpose of this is to release the glory of God in nature's mud. You like to read, Paula?
Where are we?
I think it's line 229. His sight, spiritual. Or did somebody read that?
Yes.
No. Sorry? You're all talking at once and I can't understand anybody.
Okay, ends at 234. Now we'll start from 235.
This too, I got it. This too, he tracked along its hidden stream and traced its acts to a miraculous fount. A mystic presence none can probe nor rule, creator of this game of ray and shade, in this sweet and bitter paradoxical light, asks from the body the soul's intimacies, and by the swift vibration of a nerve links its mechanic throbs to light and love. It summons the spirit's sleeping memories up from the subconscious depths beneath time's fall. Oblivious of their flame of happy truth, arriving with heavy eyes that hardly see, they come disguised as feelings and desires, like weeds upon the surface, float a while, and rise, and sink on somnambulist tide.
It's another amazing image. What is this they here? What do they, what were these theys who come disguised? The memories, the spirits, sleeping memories. And what is happening is that there's a presence behind all this, no? When Asvapati looks, where is all this coming from? We can track it back along its hidden stream, trace these movements to a miraculous fountain, source. And that is a mystic presence with a capital P. It's really mysterious. We can't probe it or rule it or control it. But that's the creator of this game of life, this game of ray, of light and darkness in this sweet and bitter, paradoxical life. This contradictory, dualistic life, that presence is working towards what it wants, is that the body should be able to express the soul's intimacies. And that mystic presence links the mechanical, automatic, somatic throbs of the body to, through the nerves, the swift vibration of the nerves, to the light of consciousness and the deep movements, the emotions of love. So it's that presence which is summoning up these sleeping memories of the spirit, which is the origin of all this, summons, calls them up from the subconscious depths, where they're lying below all these bubbles of happenings in time. When it calls those memories up, they're oblivious. They've forgotten that energy of happy truth that's at their origin. They come waking up, heavy eyes that hardly see. They come to us disguised as feelings. Desires, we don't know where they come from. There they are, like weeds coming up from the bottom of a river or the sea. They float a while on the surface, and then they sink and they rise again on this somnambulist tide, this flow of sleepiness. And somnambulism, the people who a somnambulist is somebody who walks about in their sleep. They seem to do things that are conscious. So consciousness expressing itself, although the surface awareness is asleep.
In the beginning, mother is a somnambule. Mother expresses in agenda some experience about in the beginning.
It means in the beginning of what?
Of his life.
Of her life.
Of her life. Yeah.
So when she was a child, she used to walk in her sleep.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So that's a sign, no, of the power of the inner consciousness.
Yeah.
The outer human nature had to sleep. The body had to sleep like everybody else.
Shandara, may I have one question about the sleeping memory? For example, when you purify your memory in the mind, your past or present, and you purify in your body, in the sense...
What are you asking me? Here it's talking about the spirit's memories. That it, in these early stages of life, of the evolution of life, this waking up of matter into life, and eventually into mind, which comes at the end of the thing. This can only happen because there's a sleeping memory of the spirit within. And there's that presence, that divine presence within, which calls up those sleeping memories. But when they come up into the body, into the surface consciousness, they're not complete memories. No?
No.
They're coming to us as feelings and desires, stirring us, no? without the mind being conscious really of what's going on. This is in this stage of life beginning to wake up. Yeah?
Thank you. I have
yes.
I suppose that I have a wondering.
Yes.
Wondering about the Paula delivers babies naturally.
Yeah.
And what a witness could be to see the that
see what's going on.
Yes,
yes. That's what she's aiming at.
Yes.
And you can actually. I've had experiences with a baby myself. You know, if you don't have anything else to do, if you can just sit and watch the baby for some time, you can really see how the consciousness wakes up and practices using this form. You know, it's the consciousness is formless, and now it has to deal with this curious material machine. So you can sit and watch a baby when he first begins to sit, no? Put some objects around him. He will sit for an hour learning to pick up, learning to move the crane, it is, in a kind of, you know. How does all this work? And it's fascinating for the inner consciousness. And it's fascinating if you happen to have time to watch it. It's all this troublesome or enjoyable body made for the use of the consciousness. I think we'll stop there for today.
Thanks to Sri Aurobindo.